I call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Monday, February 26, 2018. Roll call, Councilperson Michelson.
Here.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Here.
Councilperson Barker.
Here.
Councilperson Smith is absent this evening. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first thing tonight is the approval of minutes from February 12th's public hearing and February 12th's town council meeting. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move that we approve of the minutes from February 12th public hearing and February 12th town council meeting.
It's been moved to approve the minutes. Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from February 12th public hearing and February 12th town council meeting. Is there any discussion from the council? Mr. Michelson.
I would like to make a correction to the minutes. Mr. Barnett back there would like to make a correction. He made a retraction in the paper. He would also like to hear that he supported the council within its rules, where he said that he was actually for the council on account that he was asked to do volunteer work while he was a police officer or the mayor, I don't know which it was, but anyway, they told him he could not do because it was a conflict of interest.
Stacy, did you gather that?
It says here he
comment the need for volunteers that are trained to respond. It's just a summary of what you said. I have to go off of what was actually said at the meeting. So maybe he could come up and clarify what he's requesting.
Mr. Barnett, would you like to clarify what you're requesting from the minutes?
What I said was, I didn't have a dog in the fight. Now, and the only thing I brought up was the fact that when I was the mayor and we had a shortage of police, I wanted to volunteer. And I researched it. And I came to the same conclusion that the city attorney came to. And that was...
Sorry, that's not exactly how you worded it. So what I have in the minutes is that you comment on the need for volunteers that are trained to respond is all I have in the minutes. I don't have that you were opposed or that you were for. I just have you talked about, you gave an example of your situation where you couldn't respond and you were trained to respond.
Well,
so that's the only thing I have in the minutes. Lou, is that?
Okay. That's my position is that I couldn't volunteer because I was the mayor.
Okay. So Mr. Barnett's clarified his position. Are the minutes acceptable to you?
They are now.
Okay.
But this is a correction.
Well, there really isn't a correction.
Addition? Because
clarification.
We could take your clarification under public comment.
Clarification's fine with me. Okay.
And include it in tonight's minutes for the public comment section.
Thank you.
Fair enough? Great. Any further comment from the council on the minutes? Any public comment from the council on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the biweekly claims. Final claims were submitted this evening. There were only two additions to your list. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move that we approve of the biweekly claims.
Okay. Is there a second? Councilperson Michelson.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Is there any discussion from the council? Ms. Barker.
On page 4, item 14258, the FO headsets.
Finance officer headsets.
Yeah, it's one headset for my phone so I can talk and type at the same time.
Okay.
Hers died. She killed it.
Yeah, I died one time.
And then I had on page 5 of 7, suite upgrades, what were those?
Microsoft Office.
So that was the, it wasn't necessarily an upgrade, it was the, our Office 365 subscription. It's five licenses. Anything else from the council? So any public comment on the claims? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holt.
Aye.
Thank you. Pass the sheet around here. It's just one place tonight. Administrative reports. Mr. O'Baggy, you're first.
The FAA came down here last week and certified one of the electronics up at the airport to cost the same thing. There is an annual maintenance that has to be done up on another piece of equipment. We have it in our budget, has already budgeted in, we have approved it. It should be about $1,000, well within our maintenance budget. Those are the two items that were done. There is a piece of equipment on one of them that is quite old that will have to be replaced. Morrison Merrily has said they would contact the FAA. Because we were so far under budget on the last upgrade we did a year and a half ago, they're going to see if they can get the FAA to pay for it. They feel very strongly that the FAA will pay for this upgrade on the electronics up there. This would be a nice thing. We had a call, fellow called the town of Stephenville and asked about a get-together that they would like to have this summer. This is a gentleman from Washington. This is a group of people that have been doing this since 2011. They have what they call a trike. Trikes are, if you can imagine, a parachute, except that they have a motor on it, and you sit on them. Probably seen them. They have anywhere from 60 to 100 people. They said the last fly-in they had around 80. They expect 100 this summer. People will come in from all parts of the country. They're going to bring their motor homes. They want to camp out. They want to just rent cars, rent hotels, come and stay. They plan on coming sometime about the third week in July. They stay from Saturday to Saturday. At this point in time, it's been presented to the airport board. The airport board has been presented to the mayor, and we talked about it. They approved it, thought it was a great idea. So now the council knows as much as we know. Any other questions that I can answer about it? There's a contact number for this person. His name is Tom. If you have any questions, I can certainly get a hold of him and answer those questions for you. Yes, ma'am.
Restroom facilities.
We have explained to them that we do not have anything at the airport except for a single room that we could probably get a key for them. They plan on having porta potty brought up. I told them we do not have potable water, so they're going to hire somebody to come up there with the tanker and bring water up for them. They're welcome, but we do have limited facilities. They do collect a lot of money from those attending the event. I didn't inquire as to what might be left over, but he has indicated that if there are left over, that whatever there are money left over, they do donate it to the town's airport. Okay. Yes, Mark.
Okay, Paul, is there a dumping site for the RVs and trailers?
Say again now?
A dumping site for the RVs and trailers? That would be
up there? Not up at the airport, there is not. Okay. We've already told them they'll have to go someplace else. So any facilities for showering, for potable water, for using the restroom, they're limited up there. Obviously, there's no potable water. They will have to bring water in. We have lots and lots of parking up there for them to use for parking and or for putting up tents. We've also explained to them that last year the fire season started sometime, say, in July, thereabouts, and they would have to facilitate and move if we asked them to immediately if we had that same situation again with the Forest Service.
Thank you.
Yeah. Paul, in addition to this, we'll ask them to fill out, you can help facilitate that, a special event permit.
Yeah.
Just to formalize that.
And when they get finalized, that was mentioned to me, when they get finalized and they can finalize the date and get me some more, hopefully, solid numbers. He was unable to tell me, who knows how many people will come.
Sure.
But yes, we can get them a special event, all right, to have them sign, whoever's going to be in charge and responsible for it. If the town would like any deposits, he did ask about that. Anything the town would like, they're amenable to, within reason, obviously, so let us know what you'd like us to tell him.
Any other questions for Mr. Bagley? Mr. Barnett.
Have you provided for security yet with that many people?
Security has not been addressed at all.
Okay. We'll note it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The building report is in your packet. It's brief. At least the December report is, then January is also in there. Fire report, Chief Motley.
Okay, it also is in your packet. If you have a chance to look at it. January was fairly quiet. 46 requests for service throughout the month. The majority of those requests for EMS, and 33. Calls were split evenly between the district and the town of 23 apiece. Average response time for the town is about 7 minutes 41 seconds. Shortest was 3, longest was 17. Average is around 7. That was January. This month, February, we've been a little more active. We've had a few other things going on and we're kind of weather related. That'll come out in next month's report, of course. But again, pretty much the same, pretty calm, very quiet, same usual EMS requests. Probably around about the same number of calls as we generally average. Will be somewhere around that mid-40s range, I would imagine. We are starting to gear up and get ready for the Firefighter One Academy. That'll get going now next month and run through March, April, and into May. So that's kind of the big move within the department. That'll be every other weekend coming up. We'll be involved in that. We're still waiting for the city of Missoula to find the long lost titles to your equipment so that we can close that purchase with the city of Missoula. So I think they have finally applied for duplicate titles from the state and they should be on their way in. When those come in, then we'll go ahead and we'll get that transaction for those two pieces of apparatus closed and moved down and put in service. So working on that, the ambulance is supposedly getting striped this week. We have radio frequencies to get the radio all updated and reprogrammed, and that piece should be into service again here next week or so. So should be ready to go. That's pretty much where we are. Questions? Sure.
Yeah, this is unrelated, Jeff, but back here, generator back here?
Yes, sir.
I don't know who's supposed to move it or whatever, but I see the things open and there's wires hanging out, and I think we paid like $5,000 for that.
I think we paid like $300 to ship it up and we got it free from the DOD.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we had them zip tied up. I don't know if that's for them. I'll do that. Yes.
Was it last weekend you had a fire training?
It was.
Okay. Yes. Is there a possibility you can let us know when you're going to do those big burns like that? Because I had a couple people ask what those were for, and I said I'm assuming they were training through the district. Is that correct?
Was that a town? That was a fire training, and that was a multiple agency training. So we took that together in correspondence. We had, of course, this will be on the next month's report, but we did have Florence and 3 Mile. As Victor and Hamilton all came down, and the fire training school was also there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had some people ask, and I said I'm assuming because I saw the fire trucks downtown.
before you guys had done breakfast.
Yeah, they would have been done for breakfast. And we did that for the school. Okay. She was a high school.
All right.
That was a great event. And we'll bring more forward with next month when we report on that.
Any other questions for the chief? Any questions for the public, from the public for the chief? Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Are there any guests in tonight's audience that'd like to be recognized? Ms. Holt, Ms. Roach, come on forward.
Council members and Mr. Mayor, I'm Cinder Holt. I'm the council on the board of the Stevensville Industry Association, and Lorraine Roach is our executive director.
So this is just a quick update to let all of you kind of know what we're up to at the moment. I think most of you are aware that we've been conducting a survey of all the businesses in the Stevensville zip code, or as many of them as we were able to find contact information for. And what I have, the second piece that I've given to you, is kind of a sneak preview. The survey actually closed at noon today, and so I tried to turn this around really quickly so that I could give you guys just a sneak preview of the responses on the survey that had to do with the town of Stevensville or issues that are related to business development in the town. And the good news is that if you look at the very question 8, that first bar graph, we asked, do the businesses consider the town of Stevensville to be a business-friendly community? And overwhelmingly, the businesses said yes. Now, keep in mind that this is everyone within the zip code, but of all the respondents that responded to the survey, 68%, so more than two-thirds, are in the Stevensville town limit. And so most of these responses are coming from businesses located here in town. And what we wanted to do is get a sense of what's going well for them, what are some of their challenges, how can we work with them, how can we work with the town to support the businesses, to encourage more business growth, more tax revenue in terms of new development and expansion, and just have the businesses be more successful and create more jobs. And so this is just a sampling of some of the responses. On the second page, you can see where they graded on a scale, 5-point scale, how they felt different aspects of the development or the business environment is in the community. And again, overall, people felt that it was average to good and even excellent in some categories. I highlighted the answers that got the most comments. And in the final report, which I'll have for our Main Street Association monthly meeting next Wednesday, the 7th, I'll be breaking this out a little bit more so that we'll be able to see if there are differences in the answers between businesses in the town limit, outside the town limit, differences based on the type of business it is, differences based on the size of business it is. So we'll be looking at kind of slicing and dicing the numbers to see where some of the areas are that we can maybe have the biggest impact on providing assistance to the businesses. And then on the third page, you can see we asked if their business income had increased or decreased over the last 3 years or stayed about the same. And in general, it has stayed about the same or increased, which is good news. And then the last question that I shared here shows you the breakdown of the types of businesses that responded to the survey. So we had a pretty good cross-section of types of businesses. It wasn't heavily weighted in one sector. We had businesses from all different types of products and services, and even some nonprofit organizations that participated in the survey. So I feel pretty good. We had 56 respondents, which is about more than 25% response rate of this, of the businesses in town. So that's a pretty good number.
And this is indeed a sneak peek, so we would request that keep it embargoed until we can put together the report on Wednesday and then have a conversation with the press about doing a more in-depth story about the findings.
But I wanted to give you this sneak peek too, so that if you have questions, or as you read this, if questions come to mind, you could email me or call me, and I could kind of look at that specific issue and then report, you know, provide that in the final report. So this is kind of, look at this as kind of a draft, but since we really wanted to kind of work together with the town on what are some of the issues that might float to the surface, where we know we have some great strengths here, but also some areas where maybe we could figure out ways to better support businesses. So, and then the other page is just a summary, as I said, of some of our activities. As you know, we worked with you last fall to apply for the grant from the State Main Street office, and that money is still sort of waiting until we get the word from the State Department of Commerce that they're opening the grant application process for federal funds, and then we would use the town money that was put in and the state money to match the federal money, and then that would give us enough for the downtown master plan, the river park site plan, and that focus really is what are the economic opportunities that we have to fill vacant spaces, to maybe redevelop some spaces in town, increase maybe some of the housing investment in or near town, and essentially increase the tax base within the town limits. So the master plan really looks at what's the market, how is money being spent, and how is money leaking out of the town, and what does that mean for investors or developers in terms of business gaps where we could attract more businesses and maybe more housing in town that could then increase the tax base and do it in a way that meets what the market demand is so that the businesses that are coming in would be successful. So the master plan really is a blueprint to say, here are some great business opportunities based on what we know about our market and our labor force and all of those things.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, any questions from the public? Thanks, you guys, appreciate you being here.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other guests? Okay. Move on to correspondence. First piece of correspondence is a letter of resignation from Bill Perrin on the TED board. It reads, Dear Mayor Dewey, please accept my resignation to the Town of Stevensville TED TIF Board Advisory Committee. Please consider this resignation effective immediately. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Sincerely, Bill Perrin. Next correspondence is from the Department of Transportation. To whom it may concern, the Montana Department of Transportation Aeronautics Division would like to thank you for utilizing the loan and grant program as intended. This letter serves as notice that the loan identified below has been paid in full and all associated obligations have been satisfied. The loan amount is $46,045. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you sincerely, Tim Conway, Brew, Chief Airports and Airways Brew. Okay. Public comment. This is an opportunity for the public to give comment to the council on anything on tonight's agenda or anything under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Craig.
I have a comment about the word. I can actually read it tonight.
Okay.
Who's ever working on it? I would say thank you very much. It's nice to be in the room.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment this evening? Okay, we'll move on. There's no unfinished business tonight. Item A under new business, discussion decision to establish an ordinance prohibiting smoking in Lewis and Clark Park, presented by Girl Scout Troop number 3696. And the Girl Scouts are here tonight. They came into Town Hall and approached me about the possibility of enacting an ordinance in town that would prohibit smoking in Lewis and Clark Park specifically. Right now we only have a 10-foot radius around the playground and the skate park, and they're asking if we can extend that to the perimeter of Lewis and Clark Park. So I've asked them to come tonight and make a presentation to you folks, and then you can kind of give us some guidance as where you'd like to see us go from there. Ladies, come on.
So this is Melin and Ara over here, so the Girl Scout from our troop, and they're working on the Bronze Walk, so that's a project they have, and they're supposed to help the community, and they chose to, like the mayor suggested, that we would like to make non-smoking for the whole park, and they both wrote a little something to explain why they chose that project. You want to continue?
This is just a copy of it.
People built the park for kids to play in, and children should have the right to play in a clean environment. In just the smoke, there are thousands of chemicals. Hundreds of them are toxic, and about 70 of them can cause cancer. Another thing, kids can learn by example, and smoking is a bad example. It may encourage them to smoke, and they might even do it when they're too young, which is illegal. In conclusion, parks should be areas where children get positive messages and learn healthy behaviors. Smoking is not one of them. In 2016, Helena established a tobacco-free policy for all their parks. I hope our town will do the same.
Secondhand smoke is really unhealthy for kids there at the park. I also think that many smokers leave their cigarette butts around the areas where kids skate and play.
Are there any questions from the council for these young ladies? Okay. If you guys want to have a seat, we'll discuss it. How would the council like to proceed? One option is if you agree with a non-smoking or no tobacco ordinance, specifically on Lewis and Clark Park, then if you direct me to consult with the attorney and draft an ordinance to bring back to you, I can do that. If you prefer not to consider this at all, then I know that as well. So we have some direction for the girls. Ms. Holcomb.
I think I would ask that you would get with our attorney and put together an ordinance and then bring it back to the council.
Okay. Are you thinking a motion or are you just speaking what you believe?
Oh, okay.
You could make a motion and that would help.
Okay, I would like to make a motion.
Okay.
That we would ask the mayor to get with our attorney to put together an ordinance prohibiting smoking in Lewis and Clark Park and then bring it back to the council.
Okay. Mr. Michelson.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the mayor consult with the city attorney on an ordinance prohibiting smoking in Lewis and Clark Park. Is there any further discussion from the council? Mr. Michelson.
I think it's a great idea. I've always thought it should be a non-smoking park. But as you know, that's a tough one to enforce. We'll have to be realistic. We have limited, law enforcement resources that could go through there. But if
one less cigarette is smoking, that's better, and if they pick up their cigarette butts, that would be good too. But again, it comes back to enforcement, so I think it's a step in the right direction. Long overdue.
Ms. Barker.
Could we look into maybe what the other towns are doing as well to find out what their park rules are on that type of thing, and maybe we can, you know, have a better background as well on what their ordinances are. Something.
Sure.
Maybe include something with the, I know it's out there, but maybe the park board, get some input from the park board.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Any public comment? Mr. Motley.
So if I understand, the motion was to ban smoking, but not to make it a tobacco-free park. Is that correct?
Correct. It was to, drawing a blank here, to direct the mayor to work with the city attorney on prohibiting smoking in Lewis and Clark Park. Based on the feedback tonight, I think maybe we'll bring some options for tobacco-free as well, just so you have that opportunity. Yes, Mr. Barnett.
Could you extend that to the Little League field, the Babe Ruth fields and the soccer fields? Also?
The idea would be it would be the entire park property.
Okay.
Yep. If the public so wish, we could consider all parks. We're just speaking specifically to Lewis and Clark at this time. Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. I'll be in touch with you guys. Thank you. Agenda item B is a discussion decision resolution number 423, a resolution of the town council providing an amendment for the budget for the fiscal year 17-18. We had a public hearing earlier, didn't receive much as far as public comment. April, would you like to present the resolution and kind of go through it in detail since we have a bit of a crowd tonight? Yes, please.
Okay, so all of these are amendments that we are statutorily required to adopt, put into the books. We received some revenue after the budget was adopted, and in order to spend the money we received, we have to amend the budget to give us money authority and appropriate those funds. So the first one, last year we had it in the budget. The police department has an agreement with the county where they will do mutual aid, and the county asked the police department to provide security of the Pella base during the fire season. The initial budget was for $12,000 for the security wages and $2,000 for employer contributions, with an offsetting $14,000 in revenue. The actual numbers came in considerably higher, so I am asking that we amend the budget to record the additional $6,505.79 in revenue that we received in reimbursements from the county, and record the corresponding expenditures of wages and employer contributions. The money's been spent because it was a reimbursement. We had to spend it before we got it. So right now, if you look at the budget versus actual, we're way overspent because we hadn't anticipated so much. So this would just pull that budget into line better. So that's the first section. The second section, the fire department received a grant, an unexpected grant of $1,666.66 from the Higher Foundation that is to be used exclusively to purchase wildland equipment, supplies, or wildland personal protection clothing. We received the check, it's been deposited, but in order to spend that money, we need to make this amendment to appropriate those funds. So that's what that entry would be. Also, in relation to the fire season, we knew that there was going to be some excess money that we got from the Forest Service that had come into the general fund to cover firefighter wages and that kind of stuff. We had budgeted just over $33,000 because it was a total guess at that point in time. The fire season wasn't over. We actually received closer to $73,000, so this $40,941.70 is just to adjust the budget to what it actually is. And then we will transfer that money from the general fund to the airport fund. Let's see. Okay. Again, related to the fire season, the fire department had originally set a budget for the temporary firefighters and the corresponding employer contributions. We ended up not needing that much. We had a little bit of excess in the budget, so the fire chief has asked that we move that spending authority from the general fund to the capital improvement fund to help cover the cost of the fire engines. Again, we're not asking for any more money than was already budgeted. We're just moving the spending authority between funds, and I can't do that without your guys' approval. Oh, and in association with the purchase of the fire trucks, there's an additional $1,268.43 that we need to move from the savings fund, the fire engine savings fund, to the capital improvement fund to cover the last of that cost of those engines. And that's been in reserve for years, and so now they've found a way to spend it. Let's see, make sure I'm on page 3. Okay. Historically, part of the mayor's salary has been allocated to the planning fund, but because there is not currently any revenue going into that fund to offset those expenditures, we need to get that appropriations out of the planning fund and move it to the general fund. Here again, I do not have authority to move things between funds, so that's why this one is here. You'll notice if you look at the cash report, that fund is currently carrying a negative cash balance, and we will account for that at another time. It doesn't have to be a budget amendment. That one I can do just with a journal entry, moving money from the general fund to the planning fund. But in order to change the budget so that that expenditure is not coming out of that fund anymore, I do need a budget amendment. Okay, the next one is relating to the sewer treatment plant project. There was an additional $19,565.04 in project expenditures that were not included in the budget. We did get reimbursed paid 100% through the USDA grant reimbursement, but neither the revenue or the expenditure was budgeted. So in order to make our budget zero out, we need to get these two items recorded, the revenue and the expenditures. The next item we have removed from the amendment because, and I don't know how much of this you're aware of, the state legislation has created a new gas tax revenue for towns, and we found out that we will be getting $12,772.94 from this new fund. However, in order to use that money, we have to have matching funds. Our initial plan was to use the other gas tax money for projects to match with this $12,000, but I sat in on a webinar last week and found out that we cannot use that other revenue. So until we can sit down and go through the next budget cycle to budget for that match, we can't spend this money. So that's why this particular amendment has been removed from the resolution, because we can't do it right now. We'll have to wait till the next budget cycle. At that point in time, then we can request it, and we'll have budgeted a match. The match is very nominal. I think on this $12,000, it's like $652. So it's not big, but we just don't have it in the budget right now. And then the last little piece of it, the fire department has applied for and received a $300 grant from the town pump. Charitable, I can't remember what it was the town pump, yeah, charitable foundation, so that they can purchase a pedimate, which is a device that they can attach to a green, I understand, so they can safely transport children. So we've received the money from the town pump fund, and in order to purchase that piece of equipment, we need to get the spending authority, so that's what this $300 entry is about.
Okay. Are there any questions for the finance officer?
Any amendments?
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve resolution number 423, a resolution of the town council of the town of Stevensville, Montana, providing for the amendment of their budget for the fiscal year 2017-18.
Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Michaels.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 423, resolution of the town council providing for the amendment of the budget for fiscal year 17-18. Is there any discussion from the council? Any public comment? Okay. Hearing none, proceed to vote. Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Thanks, April. Next item is the discussion decision on revisiting the council's decision on April 14th, 2016 to modify the town's ordinance to elect a city judge. So back in April of 16, in the midst of appointing a city judge, the council took action by vote, essentially, to change the position from an appointed position to an elected position. After discussion with Mr. Michelson and Attorney Brian West, we thought the best course of action before you move forward on your action then is to revisit this and see if that's still the direction that the council wants to go in, if they would just prefer we not. And if you decide to go forward on this, I need to ask if you if you'd like to schedule some sort of a meeting or do it even tonight or in the future to talk about if you want any qualifications with an elected judge. Otherwise, we default to Montana Code, which is age 18 and a resident of the county. So you may want to consider putting some more qualifications in there if that's the direction you choose. Otherwise, if you choose to leave it appointed, that's what we're here to decide tonight. Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, after discussion with you and Mr. West, he also said it would be a pretty tight window. Remember to get this done by the time the deadline was come. He wasn't sure when the deadline was, April, I think, or maybe May, but I called Regina Plettenberg, the draft that he gave you and I at the meeting, and she had Brian forward her the draft of this mm-hmm. so she could look it over. And then she was going to get back to Brian on that.
Okay. And the other time constraint that we have, if you decide to switch this to an elected position, is that we have to do this by ordinance, which, as you know, is somewhat of a lengthy process. And we'd need to modify that ordinance before we reappoint Judge O'Connor. Her term expires middle of June, and so if you decide to change the ordinance after her appointment in June, then she's in office for 4 years before that ordinance would become effective. If we do it before June, then we'd have to have a discussion with the judge as to whether she'd be willing to hold over or not. And that's a concern of mine, is that she may or may not be willing to run, and she may or may not be willing to hold over that position between June and January 1, when that judge, the new judge, would take office, provided that she doesn't run. Mr. Magnuson.
Mr. West also stated at the meeting and here that it's becoming apparent that the council will convert the judge position to an elected or to select a successor. Stevensville normally holds elections in odd years. And I believe we were trying to press for this year, and which Mr. West thought would be real tight. And that if we, an option would be, which would be below, the term would end in June of 2018, just over a year shy of the next general election. While the person
could hold their seat until confirmation of a successor, i.e. someone wins the election, by operation of law. My recommendation for the town to reappoint position to continue in the seat until the election process completes and his successor is qualified. So what that tells me is if Judge O'Connor, if she would be good with appointing her, and that could be all of this year and all of next year until the election cycle went through and a new candidate was appointed, and that new candidate, for whatever we think, whether it would have to be pre-qualified or get qualified, and Judge O'Connor would stay beyond that second year until that judge was qualified. That's if she chose not to run, or if she ran and didn't win. That's how I took it from Brian. And did you get that?
Yeah, again, my concern is whether or not the judge would consider doing that, or if we'd find ourselves in June looking for a judge to serve for a year and a half-ish, which would be even more of a process that I don't know. So I'm not necessarily interested in undertaking that. If the council goes forward and adopts an ordinance, then certainly we don't have much of a choice. But that's my feeling, is there's plenty of other things we could do versus having to reappoint a judge every couple of years. Go ahead.
My position is that I don't think the council wants to go through this again as far as appointing. I'm not saying that you wouldn't. It's just that I'd like to feel that since there's four elected officials sitting here, and I know there's pros and cons of appointing a judge or letting the people out there decide who the judge wants to be. At that time, after we went through with Mr. Luddington, we all felt at the time, it was one of the first things we did. We wanted to take it out of our hands, put it in the voters' hands, and let them decide, good or bad. It's an elected official like all four of us.
Ms. Holcomb.
And if I remember correctly, we had public hearings on this, and there was people in the room that were for this and wanted us to pass this. And that's one of the reasons why we passed it, to make it a elected official.
You did receive public comment. We didn't hold any public hearings on the matter. It was strictly public comment that you took when you voted. And again, the reason we brought this forward tonight was because it's nearly 2 years ago, and with the change in the environment, I wasn't sure if you'd reconsider or not. If the council has concerns with the process to which a judge is appointed, which I can certainly understand based on the last go-around, then I'd suggest that maybe the council provide some sort of policy on how that process is undertaken versus going through an entire ordinance change and changing how that position is established. If you would like to see more rigid guideline as to how the mayor selects a judge and brings that forward to council for consent, then I think that's an easy process to facilitate and to do, and less time sensitive. We don't have to go through the public hearings, the ordinance readings, and that sort of thing. We can simply come to a meeting and say, here are the parameters in which we think the judge or that the judge should be appointed, or that the mayor evaluate judicial candidates. If that's really the problem here, which I'm kind of getting the sense of that's the direction this was heading in, was it was more or less a concern over the process and how the appointment happened, not necessarily who was being appointed or who was doing the appointment. I don't think you had a problem with the appointment or who was doing that appointment. You had a problem with the process of how it all came about. And I think that's something we can work through as an organization.
Well,
sorry. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Even if we didn't go, if for some reason we changed it back to taking applications, the current judge now would have to fill out an application. She wouldn't just automatically have that job back. I mean, she would have to fill out an application just like anybody else.
Correct. Now, there's no requirement that the mayor or the executive interview all candidates. And I know that was kind of the crux of the whole thing last go around. So you could establish a policy that asks the mayor to interview a percentage of the candidates or all of the candidates or however you want that to look. The advantage to the process we have now is that we're insured that we have a good judge on the bench. I mean, that through my office and through your offices, we collectively have insured that we have a good judge on the bench, which I think we're in that case now, where we have a very effective judge. My concern is letting it out to an election, we may not be that, we may not have that again. She may, you know, in her case, she may or may not be interested in running. And we'd have to enact some sort of qualification. And again, that's it's doable. I'm not saying this is impossible, you guys. It's just it's time to bring this process forward and get it done in the time constraints that we have. And this may be a conversation where we need to consult with the judge as to if this, then what? You know, if this, then what? To get from her, where do we stand? I don't think that she's going to answer those questions, though. You can ask.
She can't.
But she's, you know, I don't think she's willing to come to a meeting and say, well, if you, you know, don't do it until the next election cycle, next year when two of the council come up, well, I'll hold over. I don't think she'd give us that answer. I think she's trying to stay out of the process because her code of conduct mostly requires her to do so. Ms. Holcomb.
So we may just want to be careful on what we're saying, because if it went back to taking applications, it's making it sound like we're already picking this person. So we got to be careful what we're saying, because we don't want anybody to feel discouraged on turning in an application, because if they listen to the minutes right now, they would feel that we already had our mind made up.
To be clear, it wouldn't be going back to anything. The process that is in line today is the application process. You voted to change that, but it never happened. That's what we're discussing tonight, is whether you want to move forward on making that happen. The ordinance was never revised and brought back to council for first and second reading and adoption.
Well, no, but
Mr. Markison.
Yeah, that was because it was 2 years ago, and as it got closer, we were going to do that, which we're doing now.
Okay. Well, now we're almost too close.
Well, for this year.
Right.
But like I said, as you look at Mr. West's recommendations below, it's obvious that Stephenville does their elections in an odd year, which would give us plenty of time if Judge O'Connor chooses to, as you said, if she chooses to stay on this year, next year, through the election, and if they have to get a judge trained, whoever gets it, if it's her, fine, then it's hers. But if it isn't, then the judge would have to be trained, and if she's still there, would have to stay through. Mm-hmm. She would have to stay through until whoever that judge was qualified.
And in my view, that's a very big, expensive if. To have it, to, you know, if Judge O'Connor does not hold over for that year period, and it's essentially 18 months, if she doesn't hold over for 18 months, then we have to appoint a new judge for that 18-month period, and then train them, depending on who we get. They have to go through all the trainings and everything that maybe ordinarily would be less so than if Judge O'Connor stayed on board. And to be clear, it's not Brian West's recommendation to change this process. His recommendations are based on, if you change the process, here is what makes sense. His recommendation is not... His recommendation is not for or against changing this process right now. Mr. Michelson.
Maybe if I heard this wrong, but didn't Brian also say at our meeting that he mentioned some type of lawyer job where Judge O'Connor by law would have to stay on a certain amount of time until...
No, she has no requirement to stay.
No requirement?
No. He called it a holdover, which, which is allowed. It's allowable for her to serve. If we reappoint her, she can hold over for until, but that's optional on her behalf. She has no requirement to stay there. Okay. I'll take some public comment. Mr. Barnett.
When Judge Cohn resigned and we found out about, they just worked in the next election and we appointed a judge, the council at that time thought they were just going to hold her over until January until the Judge Cohn's term ended. And after all the rigmarole we've been through, it says that when you appoint her, she's 4 years. And you better check with the Supreme Court on that, because we ran into that problem. You can't do it temporary. It may have changed since then, but that was the problem we had, because the judge would not resigned in January. She had a 4-year appointment. And that's why her appointment now is June. We went back and says, well, when was that term up? So we established then that every 4 years from June on would be the 4-year term.
Thank you for clarifying, because we could not figure out for the life of us where June came from.
Well, yeah. What happened was you have a judge that quits in the middle of the 4 years. They're just supposed to be appointed until that end of that 4 years.
Right.
But the city just took it from when they took over the 4 years.
Okay.
And it just got really confusing. We went back, I don't know, it was a real mess. And we checked with other cities about, because they had the same problem. And we determined that, okay, as of June, it's going to be every 4 years from June. But yeah, but judge wouldn't resign. But she had a 4-year appointment.
Right.
And the council wanted her to go, some of them did. And it created quite a mess. So, and if your judge the current says, well, I'll serve the 2 years, I guess that's fine. But she would have to resign voluntarily.
And the reason that Judge O'Connor's up for appointment 2 years after her first appointment was because she finished out Judge Klopaki's term.
Right.
So that term is up in June. She finished that out. In all of this conversation, when this first came up with Brian, I had the opportunity to speak with a judge from another community. Is Judge Miller a Supreme Court judge or just a trainer judge?
So there's a committee under the Supreme Court of current, it's the limited jurisdiction courts. So they're judges under the Supreme Court that form a committee, and Perry Miller is the chairman of that committee for the courts of limited jurisdiction, which is our court.
So Judge Miller had heard from Judge O'Connor that we were looking at this process, that we were considering changing, or we had already done it 2 years ago, had taken some sort of action to begin the process of changing this to an elected judge. He called me, and I didn't prompt him to do so. Actually, I think he called for Judge O'Connor, and I ended up taking the call because she was in a meeting. He expressed some hesitation and concern as to whether or not we should go forward with an elected judge. He's seen a lot of small communities change to an elected judge, and it's not gone as well as they had hoped, and it kind of creates some issues with the Supreme Court as to if you get somebody in here that's just not cutting it. The only way to get rid of that person is through the Supreme Court, which is an extreme process to undertake. It's nearly impossible once they're appointed or elected. So he had some concerns, apprehensions as to whether that was the best choice for Stevensville. I told him I'd share those comments with you. So, you know, our attorney, he'll draft an ordinance either way. Judge Miller indicated that this maybe isn't the best decision for our community. Certainly we have public here tonight who could speak to what they wish as well.
Are you still open to public comment?
Yes, ma'am.
I thought I'd have to stand up here, but for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm the town clerk and the court clerk. I was
hired here 6 years ago as the court police and town cleaner. So I would just like to encourage council to leave this as an appointed position because it gives you control as to who's in that seat. I've been through three judges here. I can tell you the first judge that I worked for, there were issues there and that were not resolved. And so she did not get reappointed. They went through the process and appointed a new judge. The applicants that we get in the last two times that we've done this, we get a lot of applicants. Are they qualified? Yes. They're 18 years old plus, and they live in the county. That, in my opinion, working in the courts is not a qualification to be a judge. They have to know how to run their courtroom. They're not trained to do that. There is training for full court. I pretty much do all of the full court entries. It's cumbersome. It's not difficult, but there's a lot of data entry. Every piece of paper has to be scanned into the case. I can also tell you that if you don't know how to run your courtroom, it's a huge issue here. So at the very minimum, you need to look at changing those qualifications. I don't know if any of you, I've never seen any of you come in the courtroom. I suggest before you make this decision, come in, it's open to the public. Come into the court on a court day. A law and motion day is a great day to come because we have court in the morning and the afternoon and we're busier. You can see how she runs the courtroom and what's involved in dealing with the attorneys and somebody off of the street. And I'm sorry, but the electors don't get a chance to interview these people. They don't really get any idea of what their qualifications are other than elections sometimes are popularity contests. And I think that's a really poor thing for a judge sitting here in our court. The other thing I'd like to add to that is, if you look at and listen to Chief Marble, the cases that we're getting now are not stop sign violations and speed violations. There are a lot of DUIs, there's a lot of thefts, there's a lot of trespass, disorderly conducts. They're criminal codes that almost every defendant we get in here are not coming in pleading guilty where it's an in and out case. They're complicated cases. And you need to know how to run your courtroom and know the laws. Yes, they get training two times a year. It's 1 week. You can't learn the state statute and all of the laws in those two-week trainings. You have to have some courtroom background. So I would encourage you to leave it as an appointment so you have control who's in that position and not make it be a popularity contest. If you did decide to go this route, I would at least ask you to look at qualifications and use your attorney to set those qualifications so we're not getting just somebody off the street to come into this position. It's a critical department for the town, and I'd hate to see it end up being a huge mess. Thank you.
Ms. Motley.
I would also would suggest that you leave it as an appointed position versus an elected position. Just because of, a lot of the things that Stacy said, you can set the qualifications, whereas if it's an elected, it's anybody's guess. I also look at the cost involved in running another election for the town. I mean, I don't know what that costs, and I don't know if there is an additional cost, but that's money in the budget that we don't have. So. And I think if the council were to set the guidelines as to how you want that done, the appointment, I mean, I think you guys can control the process better than what had happened last time. But I think you have to put the guidelines in place. And I think that's a better option than going as an elected position.
Any further public comment? Do you have something to add?
I do.
Okay.
I was actually in on that interview process on the last appointment for the judge. And I tell you what, when you're going through that and you're seeing what applications come in, I think that we need to look at how the wording is and what we're looking for, because it was definitely a tough one.
Okay. So. Does the council have a inclination of how they'd like to proceed tonight, or let's just move on? Ms. Holden. You don't have to make a motion if you don't want to. I'm just looking for direction. If you just want
to... Well, with hearing everything and re-listening and... I would be okay with leaving it where it is as being an appointment, but I would also agree with Ms. Bartlett about getting with our attorney and setting those qualifications for the application, that they aren't just 18 and live in the county, that we, because I'm not an attorney or a judge. I mean, I don't know what those qualifications would need to be. So, I mean, I would definitely get with our attorney and have him set some guideline qualifications to the application, so we're getting some good people, some good applications coming in.
Sure. Okay. Anything else from the council? Craig, go ahead.
Yes, sir. If you're going to work with the attorney, I think Ms. Bartlett should have significant input. She's right in the middle of love, blood, and beer. And she probably has more real experience in what is necessary in this than probably any other person in this room. And she should have input as to the requirements and specifications. Okay. Thank you.
So it kind of sounds like the council would like to kind of start moving in a direction of an application revision and clarification of the qualifications.
Well, that's mine.
And I gathered that from your comments as well. Yes, go ahead.
I would hope that the council could be involved in looking at the applications and be part of the hiring process and not just the mayor.
Absolutely.
I need it needs to be written down that that is not, that that has to be.
Okay. So I guess what I can do for the council is connect up with Brian. And Bob, you've certainly taken an interest in this, so I'll involve you as well into kind of developing some sort of a policy on how we move forward with appointments for judges. Mr. Michelson.
If you could get with him, maybe he could have an answer by us by the 14th when we meet together with him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll prompt him to see if we can't start digesting some of this.
Next month, he said the 14th.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll start digesting that. What we come up with out of that committee, then we can bring back to the council, see if it's acceptable, and go from there. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Well, that concludes the business of the meeting. Move on to the executive report. Special event permit's been approved for the Highland Games in Lewis and Clark Park on March 10th. This evening approved the permit for the American Legion's Easter egg hunt held on March 31st at Lewis and Clark Park. I was asked by Chief Marble to attend a meeting last Friday afternoon with administrators at the school regarding the incident that took place on Friday morning. Our police department should be commended for their response in the matter, and we should also thank our local and federal agencies that assisted. They were of tremendous help. It was quite a chaotic day here at City Hall. Chief Marble's attending, I'm sure he's still there, attending a parent community meeting at the school tonight, and he'll have a brief for me in the morning. We'll be providing enhanced police protection as needed by the school throughout the week, and we'll modify our other officer schedules as this kind of progresses. So our hope is after tonight's meeting at the school that we have a good idea of kind of what the community's expectation is for the police presence at the school, and then we can adjust accordingly with the staff we have. Our reserve officers have been very helpful in volunteering their time to come in and help staff the school. On a separate note, related to the school, Superintendent Moore shared with me that There may be some concerns from the council regarding the bond issue as it relates to Phillips Street and its movement, obviously, which is contingent on the bond passage. So I'm curious from the council if you'd like to schedule Dr. Moore to attend a meeting and give his bond presentation to this body, to, you know, give kind of a question answer opportunity with the superintendent.
I would like that.
Okay. Yes. I'll touch base with him and see if he can't come to either the next council meeting or the following. Is that acceptable?
Yes. Great.
We met with airport engineers actually the same day on Friday regarding the progress of the runway project closeout. We're almost there, you guys. We can almost get it off the books. Some minor dirt work is left at the airport manager's addressing. Mostly has to do with erosion after we sterilized the dirt and the grass left. So we're working on that. Hopefully we have a cost-effective solution. There's some grant funding left on that airport project that we can ask for a change order to address some of that, but it should be a relatively cheap thing to address. It may be something where they just go out with rakes and rake the dirt. So we're still projecting under budget, according to Morrison Merrily, which is encouraging. And my last note, we're going to just bounce this off the wall and see what you think. Some safety and functionality concerns with this specific building were brought to my attention in light of recent events in schools. The chief addressed some other things here with me. And with the activity and other things going on here, I mean, every day we've got somebody going every which way in this building, and we're very tight. There is an opportunity to remedy these challenges that we have. Obviously, this isn't the first time we've hit this topic at this table. We've talked about blowing that wall out a dozen times in the last 5 years. So I'm curious from the council, would you entertain a COW meeting in March, to present some solutions? Or, I'm just curious here, if there's another format you'd like to see some sort of proposal in, or if you'd just like to just not discuss it at all and we just deal with what we've got. It's completely up to you.
I wouldn't be opposed to having a COW meeting in March to discuss options, because we have been talking about it for quite a while and what's been going on in this country lately.
Okay.
It might be a good thing to talk about.
Okay. Does council concur? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll work with the clerk to get that scheduled. Any questions for me? That's all I have to really report briefly. I could go on and on, but okay. Town council comments. Ms. Barker.
The millings that we have from the airport, did we ever pay the airport back for those millings?
No. I have a meeting scheduled on the 8th with the airport board chairman and our public works director, George, to figure out what millings went where. It's a bit of a precarious situation, and I guess I'll just update you on that now. Granted, it's your comment period, but since you've asked. In September of 16, former Mayor Cruz attended an airport board meeting and indicated to the board through the recording that I heard that the transfer of $20,000 had already taken place for the millings. In reviewing the books with April, and she was on at that time, that transfer was never made. While I served as finance officer, I had never made the transfer, and to our knowledge, Roxanne had never made the transfer either. So, no, the millings, $20,000 never was moved over. In that same meeting, though, Mr. Cruz divulged that the millings were worth $10 a yard, okay? But the calculation of yards, because they had, I think it was Mr. McCann asked, how many yards do we have in a pile up there? And so that was shared as to how many, I have it written down, how many yards we had. Well, based on the math there, there were only $7,800 worth of millings available in the first place. So my plan moving forward on that is to, if find out what millings went where. We'll have to estimate the yardage of the millings that went on our alleys and whatever we have down stored down the served land. Apply that $10 a yard to that, whatever that number is, and then bring a transfer forward to council for approval.
The reason why I asked that is because we had a gentleman had come to me and asked me about the millings that were down at the Montana Saw Shop.
Oh, yes. And so, I remember that question being asked, and they were not from our...
Okay.
We were assured that they were not from our milling stash.
I didn't have an answer. I knew that we had...
There was a number of different millings floating around at that time. It was all coincidental.
But I just want to make sure that, you know, if that was the case...
And that was brought up. I thought it here, but it was brought up, and so Ed came in and said, I think they had the paperwork and everything. They got it from a different project. And Ed, I think, called it on his personal time for them because they're friends, but it came from a different project, and it was what I remembered. Okay. They had paperwork showing that, and it didn't come from ours.
Millings appear to be a controversial commodity here in Stevensville for some reason. Mr. Thomas, I'll let you comment just because you're familiar with the milling situation.
Yes, and it was Mayor Cruz suggested I contact the FAA, but I did that. And although the millings were from a runway which had extended, or had an extended life and were used up as runway material, if there was value in those millings, because federal funds, the airport has to be compensated for those. That's where the price is. Mm-hmm. And then we obtained estimates or value bids from Knife River and a couple of other places. What millings were, and as the mayor has stated, there were many different sources of millings at that particular time. A lot of activity was going on. That's where some of the millings came into confused, we were moving millings, another person purchased millings from another place, when how many millings that were removed, and they followed them with Knife River, they would probably have a number on the trucks that they moved. Sure. That would probably be the best way to determine how many were there. And there are still some remaining at the airport. But I guess the point is that we were attempting to give them to the town. We can't do that. I was reprimanded from the FAA about that. It's anything that's federal there has to, if it's any value, salary value or whatever, has to go back to the airport.
Regardless, we'll make sure that we establish a fair market value for the millings. We'll compensate the out of the general fund or street funds. We'll compensate the airport for the millings that we received, and we'll close the case and go on. Have a great day.
Okay. One more, Thomas.
No, you're good. No.
The project that now where we're not getting the gas tax that we had planned on, mm-hmm. are we looking at putting Park or Third
Street in Spring?
Yes. Back further.
No. So it... There's no way we're going to break ground on that construction project before July 1. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So we had unnecessarily essentially budgeted the funds this year to do that street project. So we're going to roll that budget into the next fiscal year. So when we do a budget presentation, you'll see the Third Street project will still be on the books. That will give us time to then budget for the match for that project. And we have, I think, until November to claim that match. Or to claim
it's
that
roughly
fund.
What 150,000.
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. HDR is still working on preliminary cost estimates that I'll come back to you folks with to say, here's, you know, how extensive do you want this street to be? Do you want a simple resurface, or would you like to fix some of these other issues that we have with this street? So that'll all come back to you guys from HDR. And then we'll have a better idea, which works out anyway, because then we can get that into the budget appropriately and make sure that it's solid. Yep.
We would get the planning and zoning involved too. In
of course. Okay. Any other council comments? Board reports. Ms. Holcomb.
The TED TIF met again. I think this is the most we met. But I think it came down that Julie is going to be visiting with April on the budget to start working with the budget, and then we are going to meet again in April to come up with the money. And but then they did talk to you about putting them on the agenda for next month for the seed.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that will be on the 12th of March.
Okay.
As requested by Julie.
Things look good. There was a little bit more money there than we expected, so. And sorry to hear that Mr. Perrin resigned from
the board. So we'll begin advertising a opening in that program.
So if you know somebody, you need kind of somebody in the town resident. Recruiting from the council is a great, because we don't get it from advertising. It's word of mouth, trying to recruit people. You guys could, anybody.
Okay.
That's very helpful.
Any other board reports? Ms. Buck.
We actually have a board meeting coming up on March 6th. Hopefully we'll have everybody there.
For the park board.
For the park board. So great. We can move forward and do our master park planning.
Is there anything else today? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Meeting's adjourned.